Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It is exactly 11 after 7 right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And this time around, as always, we get to talk to somebody from the Global Business Roundtable. And we're honored to have Mr. Neo Chachi with us. Mr. Chachi, I hope I'm pronouncing your surname correctly there.
Yes, sir, you are pronouncing it correctly, Kofi.
How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Neo Chachi?
Okay, Neo Chachi is a pastor leading a church called New Covenant Life Tabernacle, based in Kwatema. He's also into textile business, having a shop in Springs Mall and another one in Newtown Corner.
Wow, it looks like you're big in the textile business of yours. So you're selling clothes?
Yes, we are selling imported clothes from Italy and Turkey.
Yeah, well, Nana. The imports. Baba, thank you very much for joining us this evening. And tonight we are talking about, does motivational speaking play any role in distorting biblical meaning and truth? Does it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does it play that role?
I would have to explain to you, Sarah, and to just bring a few concerns as to why the topic itself. One would say there are elements of motivational speaking or life coaching that plays a role in distorting biblical meaning and truth. And most of the time it happens either to the one who was the hearer or the audience or the intended audience when the motivational speaker or the life coach would be speaking. Particularly in this topic, what we need to look at is issues of biblical meaning and biblical truth from the place of respecting the context of the Bible, respecting the message of the Bible, and respecting scriptural truth. And we are going to use when Paul speaks to Timothy and he says every scripture is breathed by God. It is profitable for teaching, for exhortation, for reproof. So we find that Paul does not do away with making us realize that scripture can be used for motivation. So I don't want someone who is listening to us today to think that we are saying scripture cannot be used for motivation. In this text or in Paul's text, he uses the word exhortation, which does not differ from motivation. However, what we see is that people take passages from the Bible without honoring or without acknowledging the context of those passages, and they begin to use them for motivation, and you find distortion in that action. And in that act, what makes us find distortion, I'll make an example with a few verses that are popular in the motivational in the motivational aspect or the motivational area or arena. For example, there's a verse that it's mostly quoted from the book of Proverbs. And the verse goes by, your gift will make room for you, and it will make you sit among kings. And one would say when this verse is used, in most cases, they are speaking about our gifts, our God-given gifts or talents. But the original context of that verse, Solomon there as a king, because we need to acknowledge that the book of Proverbs was a book written as wisdom nuggets to kings. And to acknowledge this does not necessarily mean that we are saying it can only be used in that original context. We can still use the scripture and give it a New Testament perspective and a New Testament meaning. However, let us acknowledge the original context. So the first original context of that verse, Solomon there was speaking openly about pride, because the word that is used there in Hebrew does not necessarily address a spiritual gift, neither does it address a talent, but it addresses bribes. And he was speaking a language of kings to say, if you are a king and you want to find yourself in the midst of other kings, this is the manner and how you need to do things. And not necessarily that the Bible was condoning bribe in that text, but that text Solomon was speaking in the context of kings and giving wisdom nuggets to incoming kings. So you find someone who is a motivational speaker using this verse, but sometimes failing to acknowledge the context. So we find that biblical meaning, biblical truth, and biblical context sometimes is distorted because I wanted to put a particular message across of motivation. We look at Psalms 23 as well. In Psalms 23, there's a popular verse, and in that popular verse, the verse that says, "For the Lord prepares a table before me," and some they've distorted the verse first from the context of preposition, and they say the verse says, "He prepares a table for me," and that verse simply says, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And that verse does not suggest that Christian faith, or it does not suggest that we have a God that wants to show off in our lives in enemies, because as a Christian, we have one enemy. And as Christians, who is our enemy? The devil. So there is no human being that amounts or that is equivalent to becoming our enemy, even though they are used by the enemy. So hence the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So immediately we don't find an acknowledgement of scripture that acknowledges that a believer or a person should have enemies. Hence when Paul even teaches concerning enemies, he says, love your enemies. He says, give your enemies food, because we in the Christian faith are taught that we only have one enemy. And scripture teaches us, and the entire scripture teaches us that the enemy
does it say that we have only one enemy, or does it say that we should love our enemies? If maybe you can clarify that for us.
I want us to go to context of the New Testament, because the context of the New Testament is the context that makes us realize and make us know that though we have enemies, because you don't have enemies that you've created, but you might have enemies that are against the destiny, the purpose that God has stored upon you. So the Bible then teaches you that even these enemies are not what you should wrestle with, but because you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So already, I can't, as a believer, say I have enemies, because they were not created by me. They are not my adversity. They are adversities because, one, they are fighting against destiny. They are fighting against purpose. So when the Bible teaches regarding those enemies, it doesn't teach about them as people that I should show resentment or hate towards. And it doesn't teach about enemies as people that God would want to elevate me so that he shows off to them. So when God does anything to Neo or Godfrey, he does it because it's within his purpose concerning me, and it's within the boundaries of God's grace concerning me.
Okay, so in a nutshell, what the motivational speakers do, they hardly quote the scriptures. They just plagiarize it, if I may put it that way.
Yes, and I think they put it, what I'm trying to say is that it's not that they don't have a right to, but let them as well be people of the word and begin to have logical background, theological knowledge about scriptures that they teach. Because it becomes a concern when I become someone who is awaiting something that a motivational speaker spoke to me about, but when I go to the true context of scripture, the scripture does not teach it that way.
Is it not because we should look at their motives to encourage people to overcome challenges of life, to look at life in a positive way? Are we not supposed to perhaps look at the motive behind their using the word and all that? Because I'm sure that they themselves never say that they don't get this from the Bible itself, unless if maybe they are asked where their source is or what their source is.
I think one, as much as some do make reference of the Bible, and there's nothing wrong, like I'm saying, that when Paul says the Bible is profitable for exhortation, so exhortation is within the capacity of motivating. But I am saying, if God wants to motivate me, he will use the if God wants to motivate me, he will use his word in the right context to do so. So he would not want to use a verse that does not speak to motivation or that does not speak motivation so that it can suit a motivation at the time. But what God would do is that the Bible as we speak, the timeless weight, the Bible as we speak, it's a limitless weight. The Bible as we speak, it's infallible. The Bible as we speak has everything within it. So it can address motivation and motivation in its biblical context. So the Bible does exhort, and there are verses that bring exhortation. And the Bible itself, in its nature, it brings exhortation towards men and it edifies men. But the reality is, can it happen within its context?
It looks like, based on what you are saying, they are just speaking what we want to hear. They're just dealing with our emotions, you know. They just grab verses that can make us excited and be looking forward to, you know, good things in life, and it ends there. Are they just dealing with the emotional side of us only?
I believe they do deal with the emotional side of us, and they deal with our soul, and the motivation is good. But the reality is, we need to check what danger and damage will that bring to the church as well. Because one, it will result to believers thinking that Christianity or God is need oriented. So we relate with God so that we may address needs. And in a place where He didn't elevate me or address my needs, I become a depressed believer.
Are you still there?
Because
all right.
I'm still there. So I'm saying the danger of this is that as much as they are motivating our emotions, as much as they're speaking to our emotions, but the reality is some motivation and motivational speaking, it presents God as someone who addresses needs. So the gospel becomes need-oriented. So it is like God is not God unless He addresses a person's need. God is not God unless He meets people's needs. God is not God unless He elevates me. If I don't get promotion, it means I'm not a kingdom person. If I don't get promoted, it means God is not on my side. And the danger of this is that we then end up having believers who are depressed, believers who are full of anxiety, and not necessarily because they don't study the word, but because there were expectations that were raised by motivation to a point where their relation with God or the word is that God must do something.
Can you become a motivational speaker, or can you become a pastor who is actually a motivational speaker without knowing it?
Indeed you can. And the reality is, we do have pastors who are motivational speakers, but they're doing it right, because they are preserving the integrity of Scripture. And how they teach Scripture, they don't lose its essence. And how they teach motivation, they teach it in its context. Then we have this pastor, because of popularity and because of sometimes listening to motivational speakers alone without making biblical reference, they would want to take and draw out from a motivational speaker what is said and realize that they have never read the Bible themselves.
All right. We are talking about the topic of does motivational speaking play any role in distorting biblical meaning and the truth? And it looks like the Temurutino judge thinks like that, Jorge. Hey, it's like that. In most cases, they are distorting the biblical meaning and the truth there. I agree, that's what you are saying. Does this affect all of them, or only few that do
no,
that?
It doesn't affect all of them. I'll make an example. If I may be allowed, there are people like Dr. G. A. Lichuti. I've listened to him a number of times. He does respect the integrity of Scripture. The late Miles Monroe, he does respect the integrity of Scripture. One has listened to some motivational quotes and messages from Bishop T.D. Jakes. He does respect the integrity of Scripture. We do have Dr. David Molapo, who respects as well the integrity of Scripture. So I'm trying to say, as much as we have this motivational speaker, when you listen to them within the house of God, they motivate and they exhort using the word, and they do not distort Scripture or biblical meaning. So he is someone who is going to teach me about the kingdom of God and give me wisdom nuggets in God's word, but in its context. But you find this one who will come. For example, we grow up having phrases like Mudimu Chisaba Ichisang. And you find a motivational speaker strongly saying that, and he doesn't check whether does this stand against the word or it doesn't. And I go out of motivation being told Guti Unkulunkulu U Siza We Siza.
But is there any is that statement unbiblical itself?
The statement will be unbiblical, and what makes it unbiblical is because it doesn't represent God.
How does he operate then? Just break it down for us. Does that mean you just pray and he comes and does everything for you, or maybe you need to put some efforts in order for you, if you want to do something? Maybe that's where the problem lies there. Because many think that you just have to pray. I mean, you are a business person yourself. You know these dynamics that you just can't sit at home and expect money coming down from heaven and lands on your head. You have to go out there and work. Perhaps the statement is based on such.
Yeah, I guess I understand where you are coming from and the theory where you are coming from. To say, one, I can't pray and sit. Which is the reality, because one, prayer is revelational. When we pray that we may get instructions from God, and those instructions must be acted on. Because prayer is revelational. When we pray, God reveals unto us, and what he has revealed unto us, we act upon it. Because prayer is revelational. But it does not necessarily suggest that God is limited in power, because he's omnipotent. So if we are going to say, Mudimu Chisaba Ichisang, it looks like it's an eight.
Okay.
It looks like I give God a particular, I play a particular part for God to do something. But the reality is, when Paul speaks concerning him, he says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we think or imagine by the power that works within us. The only thing that God would do is to align us to what within his will. So the reality is that I can do much and still get nothing. So as much as I would say, Mudimu Chisaba Ichisang, Peter, one day, he was standing by the ocean. He was fishing with his brothers at the sea, and he caught nothing. And then the Lord spoke a word. The Lord spoke a word that brought alignment. It brought alignment because he had even given up from working.
Okay.
And then we find a God then who speaks a word, who speaks a word that aligns Peter. But the reality here is Peter already was not doing nothing anymore. He had given up. So the Peter that had given up still sees God doing abundantly. So I feel like sometimes the reality is that, yes, as people and the children of God, we need to work. But we need to understand that we need to be aligned according to the will of God. One, we must be aligned to our purpose that God has bestowed upon our lives as he brought us on earth. Because there's a particular destiny that God has brought now for on earth. And the reality and the truth is, I can't say, you push up a tongue and wake up and be misaligned because I felt like I'm not getting a job. Let me just get another job. God will grace me and find misaligned.
Unfortunately, Muruti, time is not on our side. But where does this leave us going forward? Are we supposed to listen to motivational speakers, or there are certain motivational speakers that we should be able to, sit under their teachings? What is it that we need to do going forward as far as this is concerned?
Okay. I don't want to sound like I'm going to market certain motivational speakers, because I've also mentioned some few. So I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do is that I would love that everyone who either listens to motivational speakers, who either follows motivational speakers, they are not false teachers because they don't profess themselves as gospel teachers. Some of them are life coaches and they are good and they're doing a great job. But what I would love is that I would love that we allow the word of God to be final authority. I would allow that we become people that have taught themselves of God's word, that we don't allow anything to contradict it. So as much as motivation is spoken to us, can we use the word of God as filter? So when I get home, whatever is spoken to me, whatever that I've written down, let me take the word of God and use it as a filter. to choose what am I seeking from what was spoken. So what I'm trying to say is that whether it's motivation, whether it's a sermon, can we become believers and people that begin to have filters? And let's use the word as filter, the Holy Spirit as a filter, and let's also use prayer as a filter. To begin to use these things as a filter, we will begin to even do away with listening to false teachers or people that want to draw us away from our faith. So the reality is, everything that might be spoken, like Paul says, all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So can we begin to have a filter? Let's use the word as a mirror. Let us use it as a filter. So-and-so has spoken, but let me go home and begin to draw my notes, begin to draw the word, and use it as a filter to check if everything that was said is not contradictory to God's word.
Jangji, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Godfrey.
Yeah, ke ndate Jangji on Radio Pulpit, your daily Jangji, sorry, not Jangji, not Jangji, sorry, Jangji. Talking about the issue of motivational speaking, more AM 657 kilohertz. I hope that you have learned a lot from him, and I like the fact that hore yay arabele ntsukopile. Let's be the students of the word. Let's not just take this saying sinje without going deeper into studying the word ourselves.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit, impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.